Memoir Audio presents Martha Doll Seaman.
My name is Martha A. Seaman, and I was born in Quincy, Massachusetts, September 17, 1919. Both of my parents were Norwegian, although they were from different parts of Norway. They weren't from, my mother was from Oslo, and my father was from a little country town called Kongsberg, which had the only silver mine in all of Norway. And when the Germans came, they hid all the silver, all the good things in church down in the silver mine so that the Germans wouldn't get it, you know, and left nothing there. My mother and I went back in 1952, and went both to where she came from and where my father came from. So it was very interesting to go to Norway. And that was the best trip I ever made. I never went overseas again. A doll, D-A-H-L, it means valley, but the American explanation of it is D-A-H-L, pronounced doll. And when he came in through Boston and went all the way out to the West Coast by boxcar. And they just hopped the boxcar and then came back. He didn't like it out in California, apparently, and said if he never saw another fence post, he wouldn't care. The only way they could make money coming back was digging fence posts, holes for the fence posts in the West, you know. So he farming did not appeal to him at all. But see, in Norway, the oldest son inherits the land, and the rest of the children have to more or less fend for themselves. When he was 17, he had his choice between going in the army or his father would give him enough money to go to America. So he took that. And I was surprised my parents, except for my mother going back, they never went back again. They never corresponded much or anything. I thought that was surprising that they, I can't see myself going away and never coming back. My mother and father settled in Quincy, and we really never left there till I came here to Erie. So they end up with no accent and always lived in American neighborhoods, so you could never say. Whereas John's people moved to Cleveland, to a Hungarian neighborhood, and they had the stores and the people to talk to and the language. My folks didn't have anybody except each other to talk to. The good old days, yeah, who wants to go? But you didn't know. But the thing is, everybody had about the same, so you didn't feel that you were. Of course, there was a clique in high school that was real. You weren't part of that clique, so it didn't matter. You could still go get a cherry Coke for a nickel or a dime on your way home. Depression was lousy. But the only thing was, everybody else was. Nobody had anything more than you did. You didn't feel bad because there was no. You didn't have money or anything else. I mean, when you could get 15 cents together, you could go down and get some fish and chips. We went to a lot of church dances. I used to, they don't have, seem to have that just much anymore than that there. And I can close my eyes and I can still see the stage and the officer on it and dancing. And you went with two or three other couples. So one person would have a car. Y'all went in the one car. That was during the war, and they had blackouts. And my brother was too young to go on service. My younger brother was. And he would go up the roof, look all over Quincy to see if anybody left the lights on. And I always remember that. You know what? I never talked to him about that. I taught later years, and when he's gone, I could talk about it, but I never even thought about it, that he went up it. And I said, what would you do if he had, you know, if he had seen it? If you left your drapes open and the light shone through, they'd send somebody there to tell you to close your drapes. Oh, I love movies. I went twice a week, double features, everything else that went with it. Adrian and I were talking about how we'd get our 10 cents and get, and on what days was it 15 cents? Met them. And only once did we skip school to go to a movie. I don't remember. I said, don't you remember why they didn't think anything? We went down to the office and we both said we were sick and they let us go home. And we didn't get caught. We sat in the first row on the balcony. I must ask Gage if she remembers what in the heck was the name of that picture. But she remembers as well as I remember us going home and how we didn't want anybody to know we didn't go to school that day. I mean, we got dismissed from school. Went right to the movie theater. It rented this dress. It was only $5 to rent the dress. It was net, and it had two or three layers of net, but on the second layer there were like rhinestones all through it, so that when you danced, it was just swung around. And then I had rented a velvet cape. It was black on the outside and red on the inside with that net thing. I don't think I paid much more than $7 or $8 for the two things, because it brought, you took them one day, went to the dance, brought them back the next day, so it was something like $7 or $8. And but if you were getting $15 a week, $7 or $8 was a lot of money. In those days, they had rooming houses, of which I don't hear anything in there. Well, and didn't think anything of it. They weren't so much for having Grandma move in with you. She went to the rooming house, you know. And there she met, and John was, at that time, he belonged in Boston, and he was fighting out of Boston. He was a professional prize fighter. And he... I only saw him fight once. But anyway, to make a long story short, I'm not making this short at all. When my grandmother met him at the rooming house, she decided he was for me. Yeah, she did. So anytime he'd get a call from a girl, she never gave him the message. I married John Seaman July 22nd, 1943. And... his folks were both from the other side, too, but they were from Hungary. It was kind of complicated. Norwegian and Hungarian, but we got along fine together. I was determined I was going to have my dress. I was going to have my... And I had Julia as a bridesmaid. And we got married in the chapel in the church, and my minister was on vacation. And I got the nicest one from a Unitarian church, Reverend Sawyer. And talked with him, and oh yes, he'd come down and perform the ceremony so I could have, you know, my dress. And then we had the wedding reception up in the ladies' parlor. Of course, you couldn't have liquor in church. So they didn't get any liquor till they went over to my house. My father had some for them, but they were accustomed to having that. But, you know, we had the coffee and the cake and the whole thing. And I had my dress with the veil, and I got my wedding picture somewhere. Into every life, a little rain has to fall. I have cloudbursts at times. It ain't gonna last forever. Nothing ever does.